April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey! Hello! This is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino at Valley Tour Parks. James Seltzer with you as we count down the days. The NFC Championship game. Also, Elliot just made me aware. Comments in the live section. I'm going to stop hitting the table. I'll do the soft hit. So if you're listening, you know I like to hit the table. It's part of my, like, I'm making a point and I'm slamming it home. I mean, literally and figuratively. I will do my best to avoid that.
Here's what people have to understand about James.
It's a lovable quality.
Yes. The man likes to move his body.
Yes.
the knee, the hands. Yes. You know, at weddings, you love to dance.
Yes. I like to call myself kinetic. I have a lot of kinetic energy.
Good way to put it.
Yes. And believe it or not, my daughter just like
can
me.
Also see
so
that.
So we've talked about this before. I don't know if I've talked a ton on the pod about it, but it's very funny because, like, my daughter, thank God, is like 80-20 Emily in looks.
Yes.
Like, thank you.
Yes.
Beautiful thing. She's got her hair. She got her looks. Like, she's got just a couple of my features, but mostly looks like Emily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's like 95.5 me in personality.
In terms
like,
of the...
full on, like, intense little creature
who is
always moving
so
around.
So she'd be
like
slamming
this.
The table toe.
Dude, so like, we'll let her sleep in our bed sometimes and all that when she's, you know,
going when the basement floods.
When she's on one, when the basement floods,
exactly.
Or whatever. And, like, literally, she, like, will flip around 10 times. I'll wake up and her legs are over my back. Like, she's, like, she is.
That is insane.
She is me on steroids when it comes to movement. And never shuts up.
Maybe don't give her coffee anytime soon.
She is a little
seltz
in every sense of the word. So.
Well, maybe she'll be an athlete.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
She'll be a prime athlete.
Yes.
So, anyway. Good times. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man. I feel like, obviously it's Wednesday, so it's the middle of the week.
It's always
It's always the middle of the week.
That's right, yeah.
Wednesday.
Happy hump day!
There it is, yes. Happy Wednesday, as some used to say.
It is funny, the people, and again, no offense if you are those people. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just saying it's funny. They're funny. You do the happy day every. There are people who do the happy day every day.
Yes.
It's like, oh, happy Tuesday. It's like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Tuesday's easily the worst day
of
the week.
Give me a happy Friday or else I'm out. I don't want any other happy days. My happy day.
You're not in on the Jonathan Gannon happy Monday?
No.
Not your thing?
Happy Monday is my least favorite. Like, because, like, I know it's like,
right.
But, like, none of us need it. It's earmuffs. 1, 2, 3. It's fucking Monday.
There it is.
All right? Like,
there
no one wants it on a Monday. All right? Especially an Eagles loss Monday, where thank God we haven't had many of those. But, like, enough with the happy Monday. Right. Happy any other day, I'm fine with it. Don't give me happy Monday.
Tuesday is the worst day of the week. No question about it.
It's an interesting take.
So here's why I'm definitely right about it. It's not even close. Monday is, look.
It's not enough for discussion.
I get that it's the start of the work week, but at least there's, like, It's Monday. You know, like, there's like a tad of excitement, like the week is starting.
Oh, really?
Is yeah.
See, I think that
especially if you like your job.
But that's what I was about to say. We are lucky in our job that Monday, especially during the football season, we're like, let's go react to an Eagles game, and we get to do that.
True.
I think I think your take right now is very specific to your point, to people like their job. I think a lot of people be like, bleep you, Mondays are way worse.
But here would be my
Tuesday, at least I'm a day into my week.
Well, no. Here, because Tuesday, you're a day in, but you're not even halfway done. You don't get any of the excitement at any
job. Again, but I'm saying there are a lot of people who there is zero excitement for Monday. They're not like, oh, I start a new week. They're like, crap, my weekend's over. I got to go back to this job. Like,
but I would say at least on Tuesday, you both hate your job and you're 3 days left.
Right, with Monday of 4 days left.
I think everybody feels a little bit of excitement.
All right, this is very interesting.
People can chime in.
If you like your job, do not chime in on this. You are not a relevant discussing person. This. If you don't like your job, or if it's
rate
a job
the days
where
Monday through
Friday. It's a job where you grind it out, and a lot of people do, and I respect
which is
all
fine.
Of it.
Get the money.
Oh my God. I mean, I wish I could grind out. Like my brother, you know, it's not like he loves his job, but he makes a ton of money and he grinds it out and he does a great job.
Yeah.
If you're one of those, let us know. What do you hate more, Monday or Tuesday? I feel very confident.
Before we get to the Eagles, the obvious ranking is clearly Friday, Thursday.
Saturday.
Well, not including weekends.
Okay.
Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday.
See, do you realize, even when you say it that way, you realize the flaw?
Because the flip is...
It's definitely the last 3 days, but then Monday's definitely better than Tuesday.
Because I'm saying at least Monday, there's a little bit of like, hey, didn't see you all weekend. What's going on? Like Tuesday, there's nothingness. You're just in the week. And Wednesday, you're at least halfway through. Thursday, tomorrow's Friday.
See, Tuesday,
and then Friday is...
Tuesday, you're a day in further into the week if you don't like your job. You're like, okay, any days closer to the weekend is the better days, is the idea.
I see your point. I just firmly disagree.
Okay. All right. Well, please chime in. I'm desperate to know who's right about this, even though I know I'm right.
Well,
about
the other thing about the days of the week, we're going to keep down this path, is
I didn't know we were, but
well,
I like it.
I was going to say, today's like, I think today is the beginning of the championship week for the Eagles.
Oh, I like that. You know, like Monday and Tuesday, react to the win.
Yeah.
Now turn the page.
Well, even just from a normalcy game plan perspective, like generally, you know, Monday they're like resting. Tuesday, the media talks to coordinators. I think the players are in the building a little bit, but not really. Wednesday is where they come back. They're going to be all on the field together. They're all going to practice. I also think today is the day the NFC Championship trophy arrives to Philadelphia. Because in 2017, in 2017, when Doug talked on Wednesday, the trophy was in the room with Vikings helmet.
So
then,
can I throw something out there? And I made the noise there because it is a fun idea that the trophy's here and all that.
Yeah.
Don't care about the championship trophy. I only care about the Lombardi. Like, it's like, whatever. Like, I care about getting to the Super Bowl. Like, that's fun. We get the full 2 weeks.
I mean, it's like a second place trophy.
Like, it's like, I don't need that displayed. I don't need, like, yay. Like, that does nothing for me. I like the concept of the trophies here. The NFC will be decided on something. Like, that's a fun concept. But, like, the trophy itself, like, get out of here. Lombardi or nothing.
I agree with that. Like, you're not touring the NFC trophy around
absolutely
the city. There's that, right?
Yes.
But I also think
it's an accomplishment. I'm not trying to diminish.
No, I know you're not. I'm not. But I can't believe like an old school take from me. Like before there was the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, it mattered to win the NFC. <right? laughs> I could be wrong about this.
I mean, look, it still matters. The Eagles have won the Super Bowl 3 times. All right, it's not like I'm not going to be like yes.
I was thinking though. So in the not only if they win on Sunday, well, there'll already be a banner because they won the NFC East. But I do think at this point, the banner that will hang up from winning the NFC East this year will be bittersweet to look at. Like, no one's going to look up at the banner and be like, wow, remember the 2022 team that won the division?
Well, yeah, they gotta win.
That's
more
what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even look,
the
honestly,
conference win, like.
Even then, though, I think that even then, like, it'll be, again, I'll be happy they went to the Super Bowl. It'll be a successful season. Hurts no matter what, right? But, like, when I look at that banner, I'll look at it and say, oh, that team should have won the Super Bowl. Like, I'm not going to look at it and be like, yay, we won the, like, that was a good, they should have won the Super Bowl.
But,
so.
And on that same token, like, so in the hallway that the Eagles walk out of, when they walk out of their locker room, like, and then out into the field.
They tap an I Believe sign, like, at Lasso?
they do.
Okay.
Actually have a soccer take at the end of this.
Oh, good. I have a baseball take at the end of this. There we go. There's our final thoughts previewed.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man,
I'm
going to
get
wrote
fiery.
My...
Just, Heads up.
Yeah. Watch out, table.
Gonna get I'm gonna fire you from my mouth. I wanted to do yesterday. Sometimes about Zoe.
Yeah.
Sometimes about movies. Today it's about fire.
Well, I actually wrote down a take from yesterday, so maybe I'll give two. But we'll
you
talk.
Give two. I'll like give that. Two. Right. I want two from you.
So when the Eagles walk out,
I've been lacking. I've been doing a lot more.
You have been. You're right. When the Eagles walk out of their locker room and into the field, they walk through a tunnel, and on the walls are all like, you know, the 1980 team, like the 2017 team. There's like, you know, 2004.
Ben Narek.
Sure, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Chuck.
I mean, there are old people on the wall, so I guess they're...
he wasn't old when he was playing.
Well, yeah. But the photos are black and white, so it must be the 1960 team. Yeah. But, I mean, if they win on Sunday, like, there will be a collage of this team.
That's
like,
cool.
Nick Sirianni holding the trophy, Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Like, so here's another question before we get into the topic of the pod.
Oh, and the topic's coming, and that'll bring some fire, too.
Yeah, don't okay. worry. So... That what they have right now.
Are we the only pod that waits like 10 to 12 minutes to get into our topic? We
I know. It's all right.
It's our thing. It's what we do. Yeah. It's what we do.
I think it's because in radio, you have to get right in, so we enjoy that.
We like to get a little in before, yeah.
But so in the hallway, they have a huge type of mural for 2017. Like, it's twice as big as any other one.
As it should be.
If they win the Super Bowl this year, do they have to shrink it to make room for this year's Super Bowl team? Because there's no other Super Bowl one, right? Like, then there's only so much wall space. So I think, and this is not going to be surprising to people, I think if they do, you got to cut out the Carson part. Like, if you look at it, Foles is there, Graham is there, Ertz is there, Fletcher Cox is there.
So great, dude.
Right?
This
like,
is
look,
your best
let's keep
take
it real.
Ever.
And Carson also is at the end. There's a huge part
this
of him.
This is your best take ever.
I think you have to.
I couldn't agree more. Get
right?
Him. Get him
like,
out
someone's
got to
go. There's only so much space.
Look, and you know, my thing with Carson, I am much more grateful for what he did than mad that
right,
he
but
left.
You can't cut Foles out, obviously. He was the Super Bowl
He's
MVP.
He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise.
Right.
Come at me. No, I think
maybe Fletcher, if you want to stretch.
So hold
but...
up. So real quick. Is that the same area as the NFC Championship winning stuff?
Yes.
So you just cut that out. Like,
well, hold on. But I think
like,
you
do you need the 2017 team winning is there a 2017 NFC or
no,
just
I'm saying it's like per team.
Okay,
it's
so
like,
then get rid of the
I don't think you can get rid of the early Eagles, the 04, like the 02, 03, 04. I just look, what's more important? Those teams or Carson?
I agree. Fine. Get rid of look, I don't care. Get rid of Carson. I'm totally fine with this. But like I also want to win more Super Bowls. What's our plan down the road here? You know?
It's a good point.
You know,
I guess build a new stadium with the dome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, with the dome.
Honestly, just get rid of the 1960 team. What they should do is like just slowly push the old teams out.
Are you the number one Chuck Bednarik hater in the city right now? I feel like you when people think of Chuck Bednarik, they're starting to think
you know
of
who
you.
Chuck Bednarik is?
Oh,
he's basically like Brett Toth.
Okay. I would just like to say that the opinions of Elliot Shore Parks are not the official
opinions of
the Go Birds podcast.
If you have to play two positions, you can't play one.
Oh, stop.
That's kind of where I would go with it.
Hey, you reached our point.
You have to play two
table.
Positions,
sorry,
you can't play one.
Sorry, table. This is going to be really hard for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're never going to accomplish it.
Never,
but I at least wanted
ever.
To say it so that
I
people were aware.
It. Yeah, and look, I put it out
you
there.
Did?
I'm gonna,
yeah.
I, at least I recognized
I
it.
I tried
right?
to find a picture of it.
So I'm really good at, like, in life. At like
really good at life.
I am.
Yeah,
true.
I don't disagree.
That's true too.
Yeah.
When I'm told and usually by Emily, when I'm told like, can you not do this?
Yeah, I'm good at that too.
I'm very good at getting there. Like I just need to make it part of my habit, part of my thing. So the fact that I recognize that I hit it is like such a good sign. So we're headed in a good direction. All right, let's get into
it. I'm very
time.
Good at following directions.
Yeah, me too, buddy.
It's a strength of mine.
Me too. Me too. All right. We'll get to our final thoughts later, some fire and all that. Let's get to our main topic, which is
Chris Sims.
The biggest jackass on the planet.
All right,
no,
here we
I'm
go.
Sorry.
Here we
I'm
go.
Sorry, though. Like,
here we go.
Like at a certain all point, right. at a certain point, at a certain point, like you look like the biggest jackass on the planet. This guy is the biggest loser I've ever seen. Like, we've all been wrong many times, right?
For sure.
One of the ethoses of this podcast is for those watching, hand up when we're wrong, right? We put our
we're
hand up
hand
and we
up
say,
pod.
My bad.
Yeah.
I was wrong about this one. We both had to do it many times. I mean, Howie Roseman, could I have had a bigger?
Yeah.
Like, I was ready to literally drive him to the airport to fly him to Antarctica or whatever. And I am since come around and said, he's a Hall of Famer. He's the best general manager in the sport. I wouldn't trade him for a full football team. Like, sometimes, no matter
how much you're on a hill you're dying
you
on.
You want to hit the table so
I'm
bad.
I'm trying, right?
Yeah.
You know, no matter how high up on that hill you are, whatever it is, at a certain point, you have to step back and say, I freaking lost. I was wrong. I lost. And this bleep hole, like, the Daniel Jones is a thrower over Jalen Hurts? You moron. Honest, I'm not kidding when I say this. Like, I get it. It's jobs. It's, you know, people are trying to get clicks and all that. Look, he's getting us fired up. It's working and stuff. I honestly think he should be fired. Like, I think that's how abominable and embarrassing his inability to admit defeat is. Like, I'm sorry, what if there's ulterior motives? Does he hate Jalen Hurts for some reason? Right. Like it is totally, totally destroying his credibility. I will never take anything he says seriously about anything. And if I was NBC, I'd get rid of him. That's where I'm at.
All right. So here's where I'm at with it. First of all, like, there's a couple ways to look at this. There's 10% of me. Now, we are hands up pod, right? I think at this point he's dug his feet in on the Jalen Hurts thing. It's not the route I would take, but he has dug his feet in on it. And to a certain point, it's like, all right, if that's what you want to do, I respect you digging your feet in.
See, I don't. I get your point, but I never respect.
I disagree.
At a certain point, I understand digging your feet in, but there is always a point where your feet got to move.
Yeah,
and
I agree
with
that.
Never, 100%. Ever respect someone who refuses to move when they have to move.
I say this all the time. Like, I think the best minds are willing to change their minds, right? And like, again, I'm wrong. I will have a super strong opinion on Monday, and if I learn something on Tuesday, I will say something different on Wednesday. Just like how I am, right?
I'd have.
Yeah, right. So here's like the most recent thing he said about Jalen, and I'm sure everyone that's listening has heard it. But basically it was, if you switch Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts, the result of Sunday's or Saturday's game is not that different. And he was saying, you know, Daniel is basically just as good as a runner, and that he thinks Daniel Jones is a better passer than Jalen Hurts. So there's three different comments there. One, he is right that if you switch Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts, the outcome of the game is not different. The Eagles would still win. Now, hold on. Wait, let me just finish. Because the Eagles' roster is so much better. I don't think the game would be closer.
They're not
because,
winning 38-7
exactly,
is my
right.
point. Right.
But the Eagles with Daniel Jones and that coaching staff and that roster would beat Brian Daboll. Now, I think it'd be more competitive because Jalen is better at managing a game.
And there's also a whole other aspect to this is the Eagles are not the one seed with Daniel Jones.
No,
they're not sitting at home in that game with
that.
A bye week playing. Like, especially with all the stuff off the field we talk about with Hurts, which is the single number one thing that all these freaking idiots, but particularly this guy, like, everyone just looks at, how's his arms? Like, we were talking yesterday, like, Justin Herbert, like, best arm, this, that, like, he's obviously great. Like, yeah, do people want to walk into battle with that guy? Will people, like, put their bodies on the line for that guy? Will people go to war for that guy?
Right.
Jalen Hurts is that guy.
Well, and this is what I feel.
I just hate Chris Simmons right now, guys. Just so you know, I hate the guy.
This is what I think he's missing, is what I'm trying to say. He's right that if you switch quarterbacks, the result of that game is the same. And he's right that if Jalen Hurts is a 10 as a runner, Daniel Jones is like, I don't know, a 7.5
yeah,
or whatever,
sure.
right? And the physical, just pure arm talent, like just throwing a ball, right? I think Hurts is definitely a better thrower than Jones. But again, like,
I mean, he's way better just numbers-wise. I mean, Hurts is 70%
right.
completion
no,
rate.
I mean,
it's absurd to say he's not as good. Like, I understand you're talking just pure arm strength, but again, that's foolish. Like, who cares about that? Is he going to say Drew Brees wasn't a good thrower of the football? Like,
but that's what I'm trying to get
this
at.
This is nonsense.
That's
the
what
point
I'm get,
is this is this guy's job.
No, but that's what I'm trying to get at. What he's missing is that the Eagles are a good team without Jalen Hurts. They are a great team with Jalen Hurts, right? And it's not because he's so much more talented than Daniel Jones, even though he is close to so much
more. He's definitely more talented.
Yeah, he is 100% more talented, right? Like, I would not, again, I said I would offer Daniel Jones $8 million a year, right? So this is not a defense of Daniel Jones. But what I'm saying is Chris Sims and other people, when we had this whole debate, like Micah Parsons and all this stuff, what they miss is they look at Hurts too much as an individual entity. And I probably did this past offseason and look too much on, like, is his arm like Justin Herbert's, right? Like, and what they're missing is, to what you've just talked about, this team is just different when Jalen Hurts is under center. So, yes, if you put Daniel Jones on the Eagles, maybe they win although the Cowboys were good this year, maybe they win the division just because the roster's so good, the coaching staff
they
is so good.
They probably don't, though.
And Daniel Jones would be better
they
on this team.
They probably don't beat the Cowboys.
Probably
I mean,
not.
The Cowboys
You're right.
didn't really try in that last game of the season. They knew the Eagles were going to win. Like they could have had the exact same record if the
Right, they'd probably be the sixth seed.
Because, the Eagles
or
would
no,
probably,
probably
seed.
The five
Eagles
seed,
would
right.
probably be the five seed.
Yeah, right? So he's right in the way that because of everything is set up so perfectly, or not even perfectly, because it's such a good setup around Hurts, you could sub quarterbacks in, and like the result would not change in terms of one-on-one matchups. But what I'm saying is, what Chris Sims keeps missing about Hurts, he missed it when he didn't put him in the top 40 thing, right? And we talked about this yesterday, about the draft evaluation of Hurts and how it could change how we view quarterbacks. What he's continually missing, and maybe it's because he was a former quarterback, so like he's focused too much on mechanics and stuff. He's missing the intangible part of Jalen. And I think that's something that outside of Philly, for whatever reason, people don't seem to completely latch on to. Maybe it's because Hurts is a quiet talker. I don't know. Like, but Hurts clearly has something in him that transcends like arm talent,
yes,
like running talent.
That's what we've been saying this whole freaking time, though.
Like, and again, like another big difference is, and Daniel Jones was better about it this year, but Hurts, if you want to talk about two quarterbacks on the, you know, different ends of spectrums in terms of like turnovers, Daniel Jones has been, not this year, but one of the most reckless players in the league the last few
seasons.
Hurts
is literally
the most cautious quarterback. Not even cautious, because he does
just
make
smart with the football.
Smart with the ball, right. Because he will
does
you
not
know,
put
do
the football
50-50.
In danger.
Exactly.
More than any Eagles quarterback I remember in my lifetime.
Right.
Like, just in terms of consistently, I know he's young and he's all down, we'll see what happens. But like in terms of at this age, this season, like I don't ever in my life watching the Eagles, just for this one specific thing. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember a quarterback putting the ball in danger less than Jalen Hurts.
Right. I agree. Like I've said, I think there you could put on two hands the amount of turnover plays Jalen has had this year. In terms of like his fault, that was reckless, right? So what I would say to Chris Sims is, like, I think you're missing part of Jalen's game.
You would be
game.
Way nicer to Chris Sims than I
I definitely would
be.
Like,
you bleeping bleephole.
Yeah,
like,
I would
what
definitely
the bleep
be
is
nicer.
Wrong with you, you dumb bleep.
Yeah.
That would be my...
It'd be a good introduction.
Fill in the bleeps how you like.
Yes. I don't think he'll be coming on the new morning show is the vibe. He's welcome to come.
Well, the thing
but...
is, he might be like booked on the morning show, but when I get him on the line before, he'll hang up because I'll go at him so hard before I even get him on the air. And DeCameron will be like, where's
be
Chris Sims?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, my bad.
That'll be that.
But cursed
this is,
him out.
Like, this is the other thing.
Bleeping moron.
Like, he should come on the radio in Philly.
Of course
like,
he
it
should.
Seems like he
he's
won't.
He's scared.
Like,
dude, he's scared. He is so butthurt. He is so butthurt with this. Like, I think part of it is he's just like, take my ball and go home. Look, he's there because of nepotism. Let's be honest. He's there because of his father. There's no two ways about it. He was a mediocre quarterback. Yes, he got to the NFL. So mediocre is unfair. Mediocre NFL quarterback. Bad.
Right.
Bad NFL. He got hurt. Who knows what his career would have been. He is where he is because of his father. Facts. Straight up facts. It is what it is. Call it like we see it.
I don't listen to Chris Sims enough to know how he is on other things. But I'm saying that what I think he's getting wrong, like I said about Hurts, is...
Everything. He's gotten everything wrong. He didn't have him in his top 40 quarterbacks
last year. Yeah,
he was
wrong about
that. He had him 25th going into this year.
Right.
And then after seeing Jalen just own... 38-7 on all times, and Daniel Jones throw for like 50 yards or whatever the hell it was. He still comes out and says it. No, there's no excusing.
No, there's no explaining. Right, but that's what I'm trying to figure out what he's seeing that's making him think.
He's seeing that he doesn't want to be wrong, that he won't admit that he's wrong. That's it. That's the only explanation for this. The only explanation for this is that he's wrong and he's refusing to admit it because he's tired of all these people coming at him and all that stuff.
Right.
And he's a freaking baby. That's what it is. He's a giant baby. They should dress him up in a diaper and a little pacifier.
You are just
throwing in on this guy. Those little bonnets that babies wear, because that is what Chris Sims is. He is a baby who is wrong and won't admit he's wrong and is just digging himself a hole.
So
that's Chris Sims.
Look, he is
nailed
wrong.
It.
But I think Chris Sims aside too, and like to go off that topic. Like, that's what people miss about Jalen.
I agree on
you know
the
what
whole.
I mean? Like,
that's why he doesn't get the credit he
right,
deserves.
Right, like, again, and this is the stuff with the draft stuff. Like, if you just physically, and again, Jalen is physically talented. Like
yeah,
we talked
he
about.
He went to Alabama and Oklahoma.
Almost won the Heisman.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know.
But I do think that's what happens overall with Jalen. It's why he won't win the MVP, and he should win the MVP, but it's why
he doesn't get credit
he
for all that he does, because it's ineffable.
Right,
it's,
the, stuff,
it's stuff, that
the
is,
stuff that he does doesn't.
You can't grab onto it. It's not tangible.
And I normally, to be honest, I normally hate saying that because...
Which is my favorite stuff.
Well, but
it's my
it's
top
because it's a lot of what people said with Ben, who's a specific example of Ben Simmons.
Well,
which
that was
is,
different. That was physical skills and stuff. With Jalen, it's not physical stuff. It's all the off the field, the way he goes about his business, the work ethic, the dedication. All that stuff is what makes Jalen truly special. And it's why I wasn't betting against him coming in the year.
Right.
So I was like, whatever he's got in him, he's going to get it out of him.
Right. So I just think that with Jalen, the stuff he does doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Like the zero in the turnover margin is never going to be, you know, a top 10 stat of the week in terms of like it's an important stat. Obviously, we know that. But the fact that Jalen doesn't turn the ball over, I think is his best quality as a quarterback. So when Chris Sims sits there and says, if you swapped him, like, he's right that, yes.
You're giving him too much credit. He's not right.
Well, no, no. Wait, let me.
They're a winning football team. They're not close to what they are.
No, but what he said was, if you swap the
I think if Jalen's on the Giants, they have a chance to win that game.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm
so
saying
if you
I think swap the Eagles.
Them, I think he's still right. wrong.
But I think the Eagles would still win the game.
I think probably, yeah. But if Jalen's on the other side, who knows what that dude could do with that? Like, that team's better because of him.
The
Everyone's
team is better.
Better
that's what I'm
him.
Saying.
The, Everything
yes,
is better because of him.
And the Eagles are worse.
So,
I agree
again,
with that.
I can't give Chris Sims any, he's right about any of this. He is just flat out wrong about Jalen Hurts. He's been flat out wrong from the beginning. He continues to doubt
him. Yeah, he's wrong about
down.
Hurts.
And again, let's forget the intangible stuff, which he's clearly missed and clearly wrong about, and a lot of people miss. Like, just to watch that football game, that one right. game, 38-7 in the playoffs where it right. matters, and to come out of it and have that take is all you need to know. Like, it's all you need to know. It means that it didn't matter what happened on that field. It does. Right. It means it doesn't matter what Jalen Hurts does, that he's always going to say that. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
like, he could never watch Jalen Hurts play football again. He's going to say the same thing over and over and over again because he thinks he's right and he's not backing off it. And that's an embarrassment.
And I think there's a lot of people out there that feel that way about Jalen, and I can't fully understand, like, why. Like, I can't, like, I understood this past offseason because we, you know, we debated this. We talked about it with Eagles fans. Like, there was, I think, coming into the season with Jalen, portions of fan who were like, I believe in him. He showed enough last year. Like, he's Jalen Hurts. I believe in him. There were fans who were like, he can't throw the ball. I'm never going to believe in him. You'll never win with this guy. And I think the largest section was probably in the middle, which was like, you know, I want to believe in him, but I don't know, man, like that type of thing. I feel like for some reason with Jalen, and you saw it at Alabama, you saw it at Oklahoma, you saw it in the draft, you're seeing it now. You frankly even saw it with the Eagles at the beginning. There is something about Jalen that people seem to never want to fully buy in. Like, even if he wins the Super Bowl this year, it would not surprise me if there's still a lot of people that either publicly or privately would say, like, well, a lot of quarterbacks would have won with that team.
Oh, that team was just so good.
And, like, I also, again, like, I have been in that camp a little bit prior to the season, right? But I think everyone that's not watching every snap that the Eagles play every week. I mean, look, the Giants thing is a perfect example. The Giants played a game during the playoffs, right? They beat the Vikings, and everyone spent the full week talking themselves into, like, well, like, you know, blah, blah, this, that, whatever. And then the Eagles went out and just smacked them, right? Because the Eagles with Jalen at quarterback when he's playing his game are a special team, right? I think the Eagles probably would have beaten the Giants with Minshew. Like, that's how much better I think they were, right? But they don't win that game 38-7. They don't jump out 28-0. They don't jump out 14-0. Like, what Jalen does, and it's because people don't watch every snap, but, like, what he does for this team cannot be really kind of, like, fully seen on a stat sheet. And I think that's what a lot of people miss about him. It's what Micah Parsons missed. It's what Chris Sims missed. It's what, like, you know, people that picked two over him at Alabama missed. Like, there's just something about Jalen that doesn't fully register with people who aren't around him and don't see him every snap. And the good news is, it doesn't matter because he's in Philly and the people that are deciding to pay him are around him all the time. And we do see him all the time. And we know he's someone you want to attach your franchise to. But I don't know what it is about Jalen that always, like, doesn't register with a lot of people.
Yeah. No, and again, I do think it's part not seeing him every day and not seeing the impact and the import that he has on,
right.
On the you know, off the field type of stuff. And look, I do shout out to all the people who pointed out that it's quite hilarious that Micah Parsons ended up losing to a literal system quarterback, which
good
is
point.
Top tier
yes.
stuff
also,
right there.
Also, Micah Parsons, for what it's worth, like, look, I think Micah Parsons is awesome.
He dropped off.
Here's the thing about Micah Parsons now. People are doing the thing where they'll over-exaggerate what he does because he's not getting sacks and he's not making big plays. So it'll be like, you know, man, look at the way he commanded that double team, or like, look at the way he almost got Brock Purdy. Like, Hassan Reddick is out there actually sacking guys, you know? So I think that while Micah Parsons is awesome, he's probably, if not the best defensive player in the league, he's like in that short conversation, right? I do think him and Brian Daboll have been crowned a little early. Like, go out and accomplish a little bit more before it's like, without question, you're all pro type of thing.
All right. Quickly, because we'll get to our final thoughts. We have a ton of time left before, you know, I have to get to work. But the Burrow Mahomes Hurts thing kind of becoming a topic and discussion, which it should be, because I've said to you for months now on this pod that those are the only three guys that I like. Those are my top three guys in the NFL, both today to win a game right now. You know, if healthy, Mahomes, obviously,
right
now you'd take Burrow and Hurts over him. But even moving forward, like if I'm starting my team at the quarterback, it's one of those three guys. And for me, there's a gap, like not a massive one, but it's like a gap before Herbert or whoever's next. Mm-hmm. Like those are my three definitively. Now, how I rank those three goes back and forth. Like Hurts because of the off the field stuff could be number one. I think Burrow might be the guy I trust the most to go out and win a football game right now. Just the way he goes about his business and playing with that O-line. If you put him on the Eagles, like that kind of stuff. And then Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He's done it. Like I'm actually really torn on this about who I think is the best of these guys. I think if I had to pick one for the next decade, I think I probably would go Hurts just because the way he goes about his business. But it's between him and Burrow. But if I had to win a game tomorrow, I might pick Burrow. I don't know. It's between crazy enough because Mahomes is the clear answer, and yet I'm on the Hurts Burrow side, and you know, maybe I'm going with recency bias.
So
right
I actually I here's how I would rank them of Burrow, Hurts, and Mahomes. I would rank them like this. Number one for me is Joe Burrow because of what because of what he's already accomplished.
And the swag and the way he goes. Yeah. He's got the same Hurts type stuff. He does it in a different way, but he feels similar to me in Hurts in the idea of like he gets guys.
Yeah, I think if you were around Burrow, you would feel the same way you
like,
do.
Like, I
want to
run through a wall for this guy. Exactly. I'm going to go do everything I can to help this guy win. I'm going to and the processing, the ball placement, all that stuff. Like he is phenomenal.
He is everything. Now, you know, the check marks against him is he's not a mobile quarterback.
He's not dynamic.
And he's
very pocket mobile, and he can run, like, he can get you 20, 30 yards in the game if you need it in big spots and stuff. He's not, like, immobile, but I agree. He's not.
Well, but I think there's, like, two types of quarterbacks. Well, there's not really many statues anymore. There's two types of quarterbacks in the league now. There's ones that can maneuver the pocket and, like, get you 8 yards if everything breaks perfectly. And then there's guys who the defense has to literally worry about running the ball.
I think that's
and
fair
Burrow
point.
Is not that.
Agreed.
Right?
100%.
And Mahomes can
be. Mahomes kind of in between.
He's kind of in between, yeah. But so here would be my argument for Hurts over Mahomes. We just talked about how if you put like Daniel Jones on the Eagles or whoever, another quarterback on the Eagles, what the results would be. I think if you put Mahomes on the Eagles, the results might be worse because A, I think we underestimate what Hurts does for the running game. Mahomes would not do that for the running game. The Eagles would not be as good of a running team with Mahomes under center. And another reality of Mahomes is the guy throws a lot of interceptable passes. He just does. Now, he throws it a lot, which is part of it. But if you look at the games they've lost in the playoffs, the Super Bowl, he threw two interceptions. He was under fire that whole game, but he threw two interceptions. He threw, I believe, three interceptions last year against Cincinnati, right? Now, Hurts last year in Tampa was bad, and that's part of it for sure. But I think Hurts, in some ways, if you gave Burrow, Hurts, and Mahomes the exact same playoff roster, I think they'd be the best team with Hurts because he takes care of the ball, which is huge. Mm-hmm. It's a huge part of this conversation, right? The other huge part of the conversation would be can he take advantage of the weapons around him? Hurts gave a career year to A.J. Brown, a career year to Devontae Smith, a career year to Dallas Goedert. So if you put Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the Eagles or you put Jalen on the Bengals, I think they would have awesome years. The other key thing Jalen has going for him is that he is, of the three, without question, the biggest threat to run the ball. The Chiefs, and look, part of it's Andy for sure, the Chiefs have never been in the top half of the league running the ball with Mahomes at quarterback, right? With Jalen Hurts on the Eagles this year, they were arguably the best running team in the entire NFL, if not top three, without question, right? So if you put Hurts on three equal rosters, like, I think Mahomes would make a bad roster better than Hurts would just because Mahomes does more, like, creating in a way. But I think if you want to talk about like a robot quarterback that you would put on a playoff worthy roster, I think it's Hurts because of what he does for the running game, the lack of turnovers, the leadership. And again, the key part, he has shown he can absolutely make the most in the pocket of any weapons you put around him. So does Mahomes make more, you know, no look throws, more turnover worthy throws? Yes. He does make more highlight throws. But I feel very confident if you just put Hurts in the place of Mahomes or Burrow on the exact same roster that's like in the playoffs, I think they'd be the best with Hurts.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. And again, like they are, in my opinion, the clear three guys. Like,
see, I still think, look.
I know you do.
Josh Allen did not have the year.
Josh Allen's just
four.
Not as good. I think he's four. Him and Herbert are 4 and 5. He's done more than Herbert. But again, like I wouldn't, like, that's what I'm saying is like when I do the Burrow Mahomes Hurts thing, like I jump back and forth. I'm like, oh no, it's Hurts. I got to take Hurts. Oh, it's definitely Burrow. I got to pick Burrow. Like, well, oh, it's freaking Mahomes. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like the other, like when you say, all right, any of those three versus Josh Allen, I'm like, Burrow, Hurts. Like, it's not even, I don't stop and think about it. Same thing with Herbert. I don't stop thinking about it. And this could change. Look, this changed from last year. Hurts wasn't in this discussion. This could change. But right now today, if I'm starting a football team, I'm taking one of those three guys. And I'm not even thinking, like, if I get the fourth pick in the draft, I'm trying to trade into the top three. Like, that's how much I want those three guys compared to the others.
So here's an interesting question. If there was a draft of every player in the NFL, where would Hurts go? Because at the beginning of the year, there was, look, we thought he would go in the first round because he's a quarterback. But there was, legit debate about where, if he would be a first-round pick, right? Because of, I think quarterbacks would obviously be overvalued in this, or not even overvalued. They would be priority in this type of draft because if you don't take one at, four, you're not taking one again until 38 or whatever. But I think if there was a redraft, like, all the players went into a pool and every team got to draft 1 through 32, where do you think Hurts would go?
It's really fascinating. And again, because this is how the league values him, not out. Like, again, I would take him top three.
Yeah,
my guess is he's top five, still top six, top seven, somewhere in that range. Like, I think I could see Herbert going ahead of him because of,
I think Allen would go ahead.
I don't know.
Him.
The Allen thing, like, Allen might need Tommy John surgery or something. Like, we don't know what his deal is. Like,
health, you're right. Yeah, if health, like, could be a factor there, right?
Who knows? And if he's out for a year with Tommy John, you're definitely not drafting him in Jalen Hurts. And also, look, every single one of these guys older than Hurts, like 2-3 years older than Hurts.
Yeah.
Like, that is a factor if we're talking about starting a team from scratch, too. So, I don't know. I think Hurts is probably a top five to top six pick.
It would be fascinating to see where Chris Sims would take it.
I think those are the top six. All the names we mentioned, I think it's Burrow, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Herbert.
The wild card I would put in there.
Who did I pick? I missed someone else.
It would be Mahomes.
I think those
not
five
in order,
are going
but Mahomes,
in the top
Burrow,
five.
Hurts, Allen, and hold on.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry. Trevor Lawrence would be up
so
there.
So that was going to say, I think Lawrence would be the one where if, like, we're watching draft night and it's
NFL
like, whoa,
teams
like,
might, yeah, yeah,
he,
yeah.
And he goes like three. Like,
yeah,
that
that's
would,
certainly possible.
Although he did not have a good playoff.
No, but he did have a great half against
he
the
did,
Chargers
for sure.
and won that
And he
game,
had a great second half
but
of the year.
But he had big missed opportunities in the Chiefs. Anyway, it's a fascinating conversation, so I'm excited to see how it progresses. And look,
I mean, if Hurts wins a Super Bowl this year,
it's hard to argue.
It's hard to argue against him not being number one in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because
Mahomes
again,
is the only one, because then Mahomes, Mahomes also won a Super Bowl, you could say.
Yeah.
And look, if Burrow gets there twice in a row, that's some truth. So we got a lot of these
little
things.
If Hurts beats Burrow,
agree. Yeah, but it depends how it happens. Burrow could, we saw Tom Brady throw for 505 and lose.
For sure.
Right? Where you're not going to come out of that game and say, oh, Brady lost it.
But what's crazy to kind of button this topic up.
Yeah, we need to.
To button the topic
work
up.
Work time.
Yes. To button the topic up. Like, there's just something people miss about Jalen Hurts.
Yep, nailed it.
I don't know what it is. Whether it's Chris Sims, whether
it's
whoever.
And let's say Chris Sims misses way more about it than
he's
most.
He's off on Hurts.
God, I hate the guy. Yeah. Like, flat out a-hole. I'm sorry.
He is sticking to the bit. And I don't really stick to bits,
to
be honest.
Oh, it's a bit, though.
I don't.
I don't think it's a bit, dude.
Oh, I think
he gets angry about it. Like, he gets like, dude, that one a couple weeks ago where he's like cursing, like, bleep you, ESPN. Bleep you, you wouldn't put me on a target. Like, he's, again, that's why, like, I wasn't joking when I did the old baby thing, because he does sound like a baby. Like, if you just turn the video off and just listen to the audio, like, he sounds like Zoe when she's whining at me. But, Dad, I don't like Jalen Hurts. He's not as good, and everyone's mad at me about it. Why won't ESPN have me on to talk about it? Wah!
Man.
That's what Chris Sims sounds like to me. Like, I feel like I, honestly, that might be the best impersonation of someone I've ever done, because I feel like I just nailed it.
Yes. Look, you obviously...
I hate the guy.
You hate the guy.
I can't
you
stand
hate the guy.
It.
It's okay.
It's weak. What he's doing is weak.
You know, I was really quick, super, super quick. If they win the Super Bowl, does Jason Kelce give the same type of speech? Or if you're Kelce, do you not give a speech because you'll never be able to?
Oh, I don't. I think Kelce, you just. I think if you're Kelce, you get up there and say, like, here's Jalen Hurts or something like that.
Yeah,
do
I think
something
that's what
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or here's
you'll never top
here.
It.
Like, you can't. Like, don't even try.
Yeah,
just leave it as.
Exactly.
By the way, do you see, we got to get to our final because I really have to go. You see, I didn't realize this, but if the Chiefs and the Eagles make it, the Kelces will be the first brothers in the history of the sport to play against each other in the Super Bowl.
No, that feels right, though.
Feels great.
Dude,
feels
their
cool.
Their pod is going to be out of control.
Oh, you want to talk about numbers, buddy. All right, let's get to our final thoughts. You have two.
I have two.
Go ahead.
So one is far less interesting, but I feel like I
want to. So do the less interesting one, then I'll do mine, then we can end on yours.
Okay. So, dude, so you know how Leeds United signed Brendan Aaronson and Tyler Adams, who are both American players?
So I love how you say you know. I actually did know about Aaronson because I feel like we talked about it. I had no idea Tyler Adams was. Tyler Adams, captain of the
exactly.
Is that exciting for you?
So he's
you
on
get,
Leeds,
like,
right?
Talked about that?
Yeah. Well, they did it a long time ago. So, But
so the point is he's been on
He's
Leeds.
Been on the team all year. Right.
Good.
So they're now signing.
Shows how much leads I know.
Well, maybe you'll know this player. They're now signing Weston McKennie, who is another American player.
Yeah, sure. So here's the thing. I saw that guy in the.
Here's the thing. It's exciting. I think, like, if you're listening, you're not into soccer, leads
it's
is
like,
a net.
Sign some better players.
Well, it's just, I feel like, again, this. I guess the theme of the show is bits, but, like, it feels a little
like
much. A little much. Like, we get it. And they have look, you know what's funny? You know what Americans own leads?
I've heard this before. Tell me. I've heard this.
The 49ers.
Yeah, I knew that is. Yeah. I knew it was something
so,
like that.
So, anyway, it just feels, I'm into it. I like Weston McKennie. It's fun. I'll enjoy, like, seeing him post Instagram about Leeds. It's a bit much.
Yeah. I would feel the same way. I'd be like, go sign some freaking, like.
And they are. That's what's crazy.
Go
but
sign
it just,
some Italians and some Frenchies.
And they did.
And
they just signed a French striker for a ton of money. But, like, it just, I don't even blame them. I think they're doing it because they know it makes them more attractive in America. Which, look, go
smart,
get the money.
Good
hopefully they come play here. Yeah. Like, that would be awesome. But it feels a bit much.
Yeah, I think it's a bit much. I agree with that. All
okay.
Right.
You're gonna freaking hate my next one.
That's fine. I'm going to keep this pretty tight and not go on the rant because I have to go to work and all that. But, like, and I normally get way too worked up. And I've already gotten worked up with Chris Sims.
Yeah,
and
you're pretty
I
worked
Chris
up
Sims,
this morning.
So I'm just, honestly, I used to get really angry about this. Like, really angry. Like, to the point where I would rant and rave about it. And now I'm just beaten down.
Okay.
Now I just don't even care. And the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's so dumb. Like, Scott Rowland.
Well, the Hall of Fame in general is
Scott
dumb.
Scott Rowland, like, he was a fine baseball player. And I know that the stack community and all, oh, look at the numbers.
Right.
And he was a great defensive player. And, like, there are guys in the Hall, like, he's Brooks Robinson, fine, whatever. Like he was top five in MVP once in his freaking career.
I agree,
he was fourth one time. He was, like, never, like, top 20 one other time. Like, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's a Hall. This is supposed to be the best of the best of the best, the elite. This is the greatest players to ever play the sport. And now it's so watered down. They let Harold Baines in. They let Scott Rowland in. They're not letting in the literal greatest players who played the sport because they, you know, either they did take steroids or they assume they took steroids.
Right.
And they're letting in other guys who they assume didn't but have no idea who did and who didn't. Like, could Rowland have taken steroids? Of course he could have. He played during the steroid era. Like,
right.
I don't know that he did or didn't. I have no idea.
Right.
But Buster only said in the past he thinks, like, 90% of guys were taking it at that time. Like, it's just so stupid, and these moral lines drawn in the sand were like, I'm not going to vote in a steroid guy, but I'll vote in a guy because I don't know if he did steroids.
Right.
Like, how silly is that? How
I agree.
Dumb is Barry Bonds is the best player I ever saw in my life, ever, in any sport. He's the best player I've ever seen, and he's not in the freaking Hall of Fame.
I agree.
It's the dumbest thing in the world. Thank you for listening.
I was going to say, I wish you guys could see how worked up James is, but you can see it if you look on YouTube. I agree. I think that for the Hall of Fame in general, and this is a longer discussion, we'll have another day, maybe an off-season day, like how we'll fix the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
I think part of it is, I just don't love the fact that media gets such a big say in this. Like, I don't.
It's the way it's always been.
I know, but look, I'm a media member, and it would be dope if I got a vote one day. So, I probably never will. But, like, I just, even with All-Star games and stuff, I'm like, everybody has bias. This idea that
but
media.
But so do the players.
No, I that's what I'm saying, though. Everybody does.
You're saying it should be a mix of everything.
I would be okay, and this is a radical thought, if there was almost like you have to accomplish a certain amount of things in your career to qualify.
So,
like,
yeah.
You have to, like.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
And
but
I don't know what
just,
it would be.
Then it's just, yeah.
Right.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Because, look, I'm with you on this whole thing, especially, like, you know, there are a lot of writers who haven't covered the game in years, and they still have their vote.
Right.
Like, if nothing else, tighten this stuff up. But then the idea, it's like, all right, so you cover the Colorado Rockies, let's say, right? And you have a Hall of Fame vote, because you've covered the Rockies for a decade.
Yeah.
It's like, are you watching the Phillies every day? Do you know how good a player Chase Utley was, or do you just see him three times a year? When he,
right.
And then you look at his numbers and all that. Like,
is Utley eligible?
Utley is not eligible yet.
Utley's
not up yet. I think he's next year. I could be wrong.
Right.
He might have been on this ballot. I could check. But
I mean, and look, this has always been my argument of why Nick Foles.
I think he's on the next one.
This has always been my argument why Nick Foles should be in the NFL Hall of Fame, because ultimately the Hall of Fame is about telling the story of the league, and you can tell the story of baseball without ever bringing up Scott Rowland. There's no reason to ever talk about Scott Rowland if you're talking about the history of baseball.
It's a great point,
right? Not even close. Like, you would have to really.
Another example. Can you talk about this?
You cannot. Right. All right. So
yeah, especially because it's technically supposed to be a museum to tell you about
this. That's what I'm
sport.
Saying. The
yeah.
Hall of Fame in all sports should be the elite and the you tell
and
the story
history.
Of the league.
Right.
Darren
Elliot.
Sproles, Hall of Famer Elliot. In my eyes. Right? Like, yes. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
All right. So here's my take. Ready?
Oh, God.
I think the movie that wins Best Movie of the Year. Like,
Best Picture.
Best Picture of the Year, right? Should be the movie that made the most money that year.
Yeah, this is just hard.
Because it's the movie that most people saw.
That doesn't mean it's the best movie. That's such
it does
a dumb
in the
thing
way
to say.
in the way that like the most people went and saw it. It was the movie more
it
people wanted.
It wins most money. It's way more important than the best picture. It got the most money. It makes careers. People can do whatever they want after it. Like, yeah, they win. It's a different
no, I'm
thing.
The box this is office the thing.
I know. Right, yeah, I'm saying if you're the number one box office movie, you make a lot of money.
No,
actors make a lot of money. Their careers are made. Right. All these things. Like, you're good.
No, you're
the
missing
my
point.
The best picture is a separate thing.
No,
it has nothing to do with that.
No. What I'm saying is, maybe money wasn't the right term. What I'm saying is the movie that sold the most tickets, the movie that was seen the most.
I just said that, yes, they are. That movie is making the money already. It doesn't need best picture. It's already got all that money.
No, but what I'm saying is the reason it's the best picture is because the most people went and saw it.
That's a really dumb thing.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
Like, I might ban you from movie takes.
Saying, if you think about it,
might be unallowed.
Let me ask you: when you make something, right, whether it's a song, a movie, a sandwich,
things are made for different reasons.
I get that. 100%.
Some things are made to be art, and they're not made to assume that everyone is going to see them. That's the whole point of movies and of art.
Right.
It is not just mass entertainment all the time. And this is a way to honor movies. And look, Top Gun: Maverick was the second highest grossing movie of the year. It's nominated for Best Picture. It goes both ways because it was a great movie. But the point is that movies are made for different things. So, like, you're not honoring what was the moneymaker. They're just separate things. Like, this is a dumb,
thing. Let me finish what I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying is, if a movie is seen by the most people that year, it's because it was the most popular movie of the year.
Right, the most popular, not best. They're separate things.
But who are we to say what's best if the most people went and saw that movie? Clearly,
that means something. Did the most people like that movie? How do you know that most people didn't go see it?
I went
to see Titanic with all those other people. I hated it. I thought it sucked.
But I'm saying...
And that also won Best Picture. It can go both ways.
Right, but I'm saying...
You're selling an idiot.
No.
This is a very dumb thing.
I think it's actually factual in a way
it is the most seen, most popular movie. Yeah. This is a separate thing. It's not saying what's the best movie
of the year. But I'm saying best is subjective. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
Yes,
that's
right,
the point.
Okay.
So you can't prove it by just what made the most money.
But what I'm saying
is... Do you understand?
Yes. But what I'm saying is, in you can argue non-biased, non-objective, the movie that the most people saw, in theory, is the best movie. Because the most people saw it. Like, that's a factual number thing. When you're saying best, that's objective. Like, you don't think Scott Rolen should be in the Hall of Fame.
The whole point is it's subjective. Supposed to be defined by this.
What are you talking about? But what I'm saying is there is a logic where the movie...
There's no logic in this.
We disagree on
this.
This
is the least logical thing you've ever said.
I completely disagree.
It is the most popular movie of the year, the one that makes the most money. Boom, done. Yes, that's how it is now. That doesn't mean it's the best. Best is subjective. That's a silly thing to say.
No, but it's like saying, okay, if we are to
say, listens to one radio show. Is it the best radio show? Is that your favorite radio show? Do you think it's the best?
Well,
not necessarily. Well, it just might be the one that most people listen to. Like, this what are you talking about?
But hold on. What you're missing is if the most people listen to it.
This is the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
It's not. It's like if you go to a sandwich shop and you're like.
You said best is subjective. So best can be subjective in your mind, saying best is the one that makes the most money or the most people see. Best in my mind can be what is the most enjoyable or the most well-made or this. Best in his mind can be this. Like, it's subjective. So there is no way to qualify it.
What are you talking about? What you're describing is something that can't be qualified. I'm saying the way I'm going about it, there is like a clear cut. Like, this movie sold the most tickets.
This is the dumbest argument. I hate it.
You're missing my point.
I think your point is dumb.
I think it's dumb as Chris Sims-esque right now. All right.
Like, the movie that makes the most money is the best movie of the year. That's your point.
That makes the most sense.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, we disagree.
The dumbest take from it. We finally got there. Worse than his acting take.
No, I disagree.
It's the most popular movie of the year.
That's what I'm saying.
Best is subjective. What do you mean? Like, so just like, oh, best movie of the year, whatever makes the most money.
You're missing the best. You're missing my point.
It's the best in money making. Right. There is no point here.
There is a point.
What's the point?
I'm trying to explain it to you. Okay, ready? What I'm saying is when you say something is the best, right? The best thing at something. There is an argument to be made that what makes it the best is the most people consume it, right? So, like, if we're talking at a sandwich
shop.
That
is a very capitalist argument. Yes, you're right.
I'm just saying, but what you're saying is when you describe best, there's much more variable there in terms of, like, what people thought was the best for this reason, for that reason. And I'm not saying that's a wrong way to go about it. But what I'm saying is when you just say what something is the best, a very easy way to go about it is they sold the most of it. Right? So, like, at a sandwich shop, if I say,
what's your best...
If I say at a sandwich shop, what's your best sandwich?
Sandwich is not... Like, this is... Like, do you, but, I, Elliot, but I get what you're saying. Like, I get, you don't have to keep explaining it.
Well,
I
you keep
understand
saying
your
you're
point. You're saying
it.
That you think the movie that makes the most money should be considered the best movie of the year.
Yes.
I get it. It's a very simple point.
Yes.
It's moronic.
That's where we disagree.
Every single person's going to have the best movie of the year. What I think is the best movie of the year might be different from what the best picture says is the best movie of the year.
Right.
It's still my best movie of the year. This is a subjective thing. Like, what are you talking about?
But that's what I'm saying.
You're saying the Oscars should just say, no Oscars this year. Whatever makes the most money gets it. It's about voting. It's about everyone putting their opinion in. And the most people who agree on an opinion get to win.
I get that. It's voting.
What are you talking about?
No, but that's what I'm saying. You're missing the subjective. I'm removing the subjective part of it.
But you can't remove the subjective part. That's the point. All you're doing, they have that already. It's the highest grossing film of the year.
Yes.
It's what it is. This movie made the most money. It was the highest grossing movie of the year. That's what it is.
Right.
Like, best is always going to be subjective. There's no way to qualify. Just because the Oscars hand out a best picture winner, that doesn't mean it was the best movie of the year.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I get that.
So there's no way to qualify this. Like, I don't understand what you're trying to do
here.
We
disagree on this.
No, there's no point. You're just saying, make the highest grossing movie the best movie. Like, it's a really shallow, I don't understand, like, what your point is.
Because,
like,
what I'm saying is, what me and you consider the best could be different, right?
Of course, everyone is. There is no agreed upon best movie of the year.
What I'm saying is, one way to agree upon it is.
No, because no one would agree. Just because you say the highest grossing movie of the year is the best movie, I'm not going to be like, it's the best movie.
Okay.
That's dumb. It's the highest grossing.
Right. But you're saying.
Stop. We're done. This is the dumbest argument.
You're saying your way of judging thing is a better way than my judging thing, but that's your opinion.
That's not what I'm saying.
You are saying that. How is that not what you're saying?
You're not listening to me. I'm saying that everyone has their own best movie and everyone has it for their own reasons. And
correct.
Some of us agree and some of us don't. That's all. I'm saying no one can choose the best movie and say this is the best movie. We all have our opinions.
Yes.
Just because the Oscars pick a best picture, that doesn't mean it's the best movie of the year. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, of course I understand.
We will never agree on what it is, but I do think I do think that if they do vote and if the vast majority, what's the best movie of the year? Very often it will not be the best picture. The highest grossing. It'll almost never be the best picture ever
in the
Oscars.
Fair enough.
Like, it's so crazy. I don't understand your point.
You don't understand it.
No. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I don't understand why. Like,
because
it's so dumb.
And we could keep going on this.
No, it's not.
But
it's not. It's the dumbest argument ever.
It's not.
Go Birds. He's Elliot M. J. All right.